Well, a college professor in a school of management stood before his class on their first day of class, brought out a large glass jar, and placed it on the table in front of the class. He then proceeded to put into this jar four large stones until it came to the top of the lip. He looked at the class and said, "Is the jar full?" And the class said, "Well, yes." The professor then reached behind him and pulled out a bucket that contained gravel of about medium-sized stones and began to pour the gravel, shaking it into the jar until the gravel filled in all of the empty spaces and rose up to the top, looked at the class again and said, "Now, is it full?" The class sheepishly looked to the professor and said, "Yes." He then reached behind him again for another bucket, this time containing sand. Took the bucket of sand, began pouring it into the jar, shaking it vigorously as the sand worked its way down into each crevice and crack until the sand filled up to the top of the lid, and looked at his class once again and said, "So is it full?" The class remained silent until the professor reached back one last time for a jar of water and began pouring the water slowly into the jar as it seeped down through the sand, eventually pouring the water up to the top. He looked at the class and said, "Class, what is it that this represents?" A bright-eyed collegiate student in management raised his hand, looked at the professor and said, "Professor, it means no matter how full you think something is, there is always a little bit extra room." And the professor said, "Wrong! It proves that if you don't put the big things in first, you will never get them in at all." It's that time of year again when most congregations spend a focused amount of time on planning and praying and budgeting for the new year. And Morningside Lutheran is no exception. Now, it's not that we ignore these things the rest of the year. And anyone who has attended Morningside Lutheran Church for any period of time knows that I, along with others, are not afraid to talk about the importance of being good managers of everything that God generously gives to us as individuals, and everything God gives through you to this congregation and out into the world. It's called stewardship in biblical terms, but an easier way to understand it is simply management. Management. But I want to be clear, I and others don't talk about management or stewardship because we think it's just a good idea. We talk about management and stewardship because it is God's idea. And God's ideas always come first before anything else. With that in mind, I invite you to open up your Bibles this morning. Take out your Bible or use the Brown Pew Bible in front of you and open up to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Page 960, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6 today, beginning at the 25th verse, right there at the bottom of the page on 960 in those brown Bibles. Now please follow along as I read. These are the words of Jesus. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. I said it three times because Jesus says it three times. And he means it for emphasis, and he means it abundantly clearly. And he means it to you and to me, and I say it with all of my heart in the Spirit of Jesus today. Do not worry, dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. What is it that we worry about? Many things. Many, many things. But as this passage points out, they tend to revolve around some really basic things. We tend to worry about what we have and what we don't have. We question God and we question ourselves, wondering, will there be enough for tomorrow? And what happens if I run out of whatever it is that I need? We worry about these things. And that worry filters its way up into every other area of our lives, or filters its way down, filling in every crevice of our lives. We get filled with the worry that we have, the concern that we have over whether or not there will be enough for tomorrow. What will we do if it runs out? But we also worry about the time that we have and about the relationships that are impacted by that time. We worry about how much time we have and whether we are using that time or whether that time is being spent in the best possible way. We worry about our children. We worry about our spouse. We worry about our parents and grandparents. We worry about people close to us. And we wonder, will there be enough time? Will they be around tomorrow? Will I be around tomorrow? And what happens if I'm not, or if they are not? We worry about our things and our stuff. We worry about our relationships and about the people around us. We are warriors living in fear, when we should be warriors living in faith. Why do we have so little faith? Jesus says this to his disciples, those who are just beginning a journey with him, and to all of those gathered around to hear this Sermon on the Mount. Why do you have so little faith? Because we put our primary trust in the wrong places and in the wrong people. We put our trust into ourselves to provide for ourselves what we need. We put our trust completely and primarily into those around us who are supposed to care for us. We put our primary trust even into human institutions that we expect to meet every need and find us right where we are at. And the problem is, whenever we put our trust in ourselves or in those around us or in the institutions of this world, it will always result in poor management of God's resources. It always does. Because we become selfish and self-reliant. as we run after more things and more people to feel safe and secure. That's why Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. First, before anything else, primarily seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness. Let's unpack that command from Jesus for just a bit. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is wherever God is in charge. The kingdom is wherever the king rules and reigns. And kings throughout all history have demanded something. They demand loyalty. Because royalty always demands loyalty. To be in the kingdom of the king is to pledge complete allegiance to that king. And to pledge allegiance to any other king while in that kingdom is treason. And in most kingdoms is punishable by death. We have a kingdom that we are a part of. It is God's kingdom. And God is in charge of His kingdom. And we do not pledge allegiance to any other king or any other kingdom ahead of God's kingdom. God's kingdom must always come first. And our pledge as followers of Jesus is a simple pledge. It's a pledge that has been passed down from generation to generation, from the very earliest days of the church and the very earliest followers of Jesus. And it is three simple words. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Say it again. Jesus is Lord. Say it at the top of your lungs. Jesus is Lord. That is our declaration. That is our pledge. And it is radical, my friends. It's radical to be amongst those people who look to a kingdom of God and say that Jesus is our Lord. He is the one who provides. He is the one who makes a way. Jesus is Lord. It's a declaration of truth, of God's kingdom everywhere. But making that declaration to the world means nothing if we don't make that declaration true in our own lives personally. To say that Jesus is Lord can sometimes put it out there for others to hear, but what do we mean when we say Jesus is Lord? What kind of kingdom are we talking about? Well, the kingdom of God doesn't operate from the outside in, but from the inside out. You see, earthly kingdoms and earthly kings impose their power and their authority from outside. They put in place their rule, and their word is law. And whether or not you agree or not makes no difference to the king. The king has his subjects. And he will put in place by his iron rule an outside kingdom that requires obedience. God's kingdom works differently. You see, on one occasion, Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the kingdom of God. Many occasions is when Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, but on this one in particular, Jesus said this, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is within your midst." What does that mean, that the kingdom of God is within you? It means that the kingdom of God doesn't start out there somewhere and then force its way into people. Because external laws and rules will never turn someone to faith. Because they never have. Faith does not come by an external force. Faith comes by the Spirit of God in your heart. By a surrendering to God's kingdom in your heart. And from that place, it works its way out. It does not stay as a private or personal faith. It begins in your heart and then it goes out into the world. It starts in the heart of people by faith and then influences every aspect of their lives as they put God first. This is the kingdom that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans 14:7 when he says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit that comes to fill the hearts of those people of faith, those who believe in God, trust in Him as Lord, trust in His kingdom purposes, and from that place put Him first in everything. This is why we then say, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. Jesus is Lord, but He is also my Lord and my Savior. He's created faith in my heart through the declaration of His gospel. He has brought you into salvation. He has redeemed your life and brought you into eternal life. Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. And when you say that, you can trust that the kingdom of God has come to you. His kingship has started in your heart. And once that kingship starts in your heart, the kingdom of God resets all of your priorities. It resets every priority. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, that's the end of Jesus' promise to us, is that when we seek first this kingdom that has come alive in our hearts through faith, we get it all. But we get it all according to God's priority. Because all that we have is submitted to Him. All that we own, our time, our lives, our clothes, our food, all of it comes from God. And we trust Him with it because He is our King. And when our priorities are aligned with God's priorities, we can be trusted to use His resources in a righteous and generous way. We're going to talk in more detail about this next week. But I want to set the stage for us to understand, above anything else, that stewardship and management of God's resources starts with His kingdom coming alive in your heart. Everything else is just a business practice. The business of the kingdom is people's hearts. God's kingdom coming alive in your heart and His rule in your life. That's the kingdom of God coming to you and to me when we put first things first. And then let me say something that I need to share with you in our current climate and environment that's related directly to this. We live in a world that has its priorities completely out of alignment because we don't put first things first. It has driven us to places of fear and division in our nation, in our communities. And you know what? That comes as no surprise. It should come as no surprise. There are things that come and bring division in communities that have been happening since creation itself. But what does come as a surprise is the level of fear and division it has caused between brothers and sisters in Christ. People of faith are questioning the faith of other people of faith based on their support of political parties and political candidates. Friends, Jesus has no political party. And God has no political platform. Jesus is Lord. We place our trust and our allegiance there first above any other earthly kingdom or candidate. We owe an allegiance to God's kingdom and a loyalty to His royalty. The only party that matters to Jesus is the marriage feast that we look forward to when He returns to call us all faithfully home to Him. My friends, that is going to be a party. That will be a party to see. That will be a party that you don't want to miss. And we actually get to see a foreshadowing of that party right here today. You see, this platform that we're standing on up here, it holds an altar. And on that altar is the feast of God's victory. Through Jesus Christ, He won the victory over sin, and His resurrection has won the victory over death itself. His body and blood broken and shed for you and me are what sustain us in this life and promise us life eternal. We put our trust there. And when we put our trust there and make God's priorities our priorities because of His kingdom alive in our heart, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Because nothing in this world can take us out of God's hands as His followers. Friends, come and seek Him at the cross. Come and seek Him at this table. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. To God be the glory. To Jesus be the victory. And may the party begin. Amen.